45. It took longer than Molly thought it would. Even using Waze, she made a couple wrong turns on the narrow two-lane roads that took you out to the state park. One time she turned too early, another time too late. She had been trying to call Blair to give her updates on her progress without success. Maybe the cell service out here was hit or miss, and she'd been lucky to get through to Molly in the first place. Maybe the phone had died. No point in speculating. Just get there. She was on Reservoir Road now, badly lit, looking for number 10. No other houses even close to the road. No house lights anywhere that Molly could see. Middle of nowhere, Molly thought. Probably the point. She missed the small dirt road, came back, saw the outline of a cabin maybe 100 yards up from Reservoir Road. Molly shut off her lights, eased the Cherokee to a stop, got out of the car, quietly closed the door. The only faint light was from the moon, covered by clouds as if shades had been drawn in front of it, but no lights on, which bothered her. She was glad the Bruins hoodie she'd been wearing when Blair called was black. Molly had the Glock in her right hand. She had shut off her phone. She stayed low to the grass, moving slowly in a crouch along the tree line. One of Jesse Stone's rules to live by, being overly cautious had never gotten anybody killed. Molly thought, maybe I should have called Jesse and Crow. She thought, why hadn't Blair been waiting out front? Why were the lights off? Molly talked all the time about her hunches. It was a standing joke with her and Jesse in suit. But this was more than that now. This was a deep and visceral feeling that something was very wrong here. If you're as scared as you sounded, why are you alone at a darkened house? There was still only the light of the moon when Molly saw the muzzle flash through the first floor window and heard the shot.